Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Mike Wood is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. He always joins us at this time on a Thursday. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So let's start with yesterday. Obviously, a major incident that we were all paying attention to at the condos at the Carlton Palms at Garden, just as you get down into town. What happened? You were on the scene, I know, but what happened?
We received a 911 call that there was an individual inside Carlton Palms, which everyone knows is a condo, is a residential building, firing multiple shots inside. Officers responded. The three initial officers that arrived on the scene were aware of a description of what he looked like, and by the time they got there, he was out on the parking lot. He faced one came in from the west. He faced that officer, and two more came in from the east. He was standing there. He was not trying to take any cover, and waiting on the officer to get out of his car, and he was ordered multiple times by these three officers to put the weapon down. He heard the officers behind him. He turned around and looked at them, and in just a couple of seconds after that, he raised the weapon toward the officers, and they were forced to fire.
Wow. Okay. Well, of course, he later on died on either at the hospital or on the way to the hospital, not at the scene. But so he was ordered to drop his weapon multiple times, refused, did not do so, did not comply, stood in the open, didn't take cover, and raised his gun at the officers, which is when they fired.
Yeah, that's right. And before that, while he was inside the building, he did put his gun in the face of a person. I don't know if it was an employee or a tenant. But he did put the gun in the face of this person, pulled the trigger, and the gun did not function.
Oh, my God. So somebody's life was saved by the fact that the gun malfunctioned.
Absolutely.
Wow. Well, thank God nobody else, you know, nobody was actually harmed. I mean, traumatized, certainly, but nobody was actually shot inside the building. Wow. Okay. Do we at this point know anything about, you know, I mean, officers who are involved in the shooting, they're all on desk duty for temporarily because that's what always happens, right?
Yeah, they're on paid administrative leave, which is standard. FDLE is in charge of the investigation. But, you know, and Andrew, people say that this is what the cops signed up for. This is not what we signed up for. These officers have to live with this the rest of their life. It was not it's not easy to do. And we all wish it didn't happen. We don't know what was going through this individual's mind, what was going on in his life, and I'm sure that all that'll be brought out later in the investigation. But it's a terrible thing all around. We are just fortunate, and we thank God that nobody was injured in this, because with bullets flying outside, that's a heavily populated area with traffic, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of people inside. And our officers they went and searched the building to make sure there were no victims inside, and fortunately, nobody else was hurt.
The interviews that I had seen on Channel 3 indicated that people did hear multiple gunshots. So when we say the gun malfunctioned facing this person, I'm guessing that was after the gun had fired properly before, or do we know which one happened first?
Yeah, we believe the shots were fired first.
Okay, so the shots were fired. So, I mean, we know the gun worked. Thank God nobody got hurt, but then all of a sudden at just the right time, a miracle malfunction, which, I mean, we'll take it. You know, 100% we'll take that. You and I do the you know, did you know or cop myth, and just in talking about this, I do have a one I'm not sure about. I said desk duty. You said administrative leave. What does that look like for an officer? What are they actually doing when that's happening?
Well, right now they're going through interviews and a debrief. And then after that, they may come to the station and do administrative duties at the station. It can mean a bunch of things. We could get into that, but it's just a lot of different things that they could be doing. But that's just standard procedure while the investigation's going on.
Oh, sure. I knew in my head I perceived it as doing, you know, paperwork and other kinds of things inside the station. But the way it suddenly occurred to me that maybe they're actually not in the station. And I'm assuming that under more traumatic circumstances, or if they need the leave for whatever reason, that's accommodated to them. Just that the standard is that they're going to be working in some capacity.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else about, I know FDLE is taking over, so I know you're kind of limited on all the various things that you might be able to say, but anything else about this case, you know, motives, background, who this person was, obviously, people ask questions like, well, was he trying to get killed, or who knows? But anything else about this that we know at this point?
No, we don't. And I'm sure FDLE will get to the bottom of it. Again, we don't know what was going through his mind what his personal situation was. I don't have any of that information at this point.
All right. Very good, man. Mike, as I recall, a city council meeting, I think is where this had been announced. They were talking about there being some kind of a high police presence at the Baptist Legacy Campus. I thought it was supposed to be today, where they were going to be basically going in and clearing the building to make sure that it's safe for the ECUA workers to reactivate the water supply to get the fire suppression system going, so that while demolition is happening, if God forbid there's a fire, they can take care of it. Because there's been vandalism, there's been, you know, criminal activity. You and I have talked many times about people going in over the fence line while it has been closed. But were you able to find out if that's going on today or know anything about that?
Yeah, it is. Our SWAT team is going to be there. It will be an exercise, a clearing building exercise. But on the other hand, it'll be real as well, as far as making sure that there's nobody in there living there or camping there before this demolition begins.
Okay, so it's a combination, actually clearing a building that we want to make sure is safe for the ECUA and the demolition workers, but also, hey, while we're here, you know, this is a really good opportunity to use an interesting structure and do an active shooter training drill at the same time. So if people see a lot of police in that area, that's a planned thing. Is that the main takeaway?
Yeah, that's it. While, you know, while it's abandoned, it's still a former hospital, and it's going to be great training as far as, like you said, a possible active shooter or how to clear multiple floors quickly. That's what they're going to be doing.
Do you happen to know a time? Do you happen to know when that's going to be taking place?
I don't. Okay. I can get back with you on that.
Okay, great. One of the other big stories, of course, a terrible story. We have this, and you and I talked about this last week, that this two people were killed when a driver went across the center line on scenic highway a couple of weeks ago on a Friday. Of course, their person was also had been talked to, essentially, at a traffic stop over on the west side. That was the sheriff's office and county EMS, not you guys. So I know you're not responsible for that, but you've made an arrest now in that case, right? Or an arrest has been made, I should say.
Yeah, and folks are wondering what took so long. And what it is we drew blood when he was taken to the hospital, and it takes time for that blood test to come back. And when it did, it showed that he had excessive amounts of medication in his system and should not have been driving. So he was arrested on a warrant in Spring Hill. He's being held in the county jail there awaiting extradition back here.
Are you able to say what kind of medication? Are we talking illegal drugs, prescription drugs, in the sense that we'd be able to know what the nature of the impairment is? But it wasn't alcohol. That's the main thing, right? Not alcohol?
Right. It was not alcohol, and I don't know the specific narcotic.
Okay. But in any case, in your judgment, this was a violation. This is why the two manslaughter charges have been issued for driving under the influence, because the blood test shows the narcotics are at a high enough level where it would have impaired him to the point where he should not have been driving.
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Very good. Anything else that's going on? I mean, that's not plenty. I had wanted to ask you, I may periodically check in with you about this. First of all, the parade went off without a hitch, basically, right? I didn't see anything happen, but you tell me the parade was fine on Saturday. Parades.
Well, there was a little hitch, and people did exactly what we asked them to do. When we say, if you see something, say something. There was the parade Friday night took off about 10 minutes late because there was a backpack that was abandoned near Jefferson Street. So we were made aware of that. We have ATF on the scene for these parades. They cut it open, determined that there was no problem with that bag, and then the parade got started 10 minutes after that. So besides that, we had two great days of uneventful on the crime side issues, but we had a great parade both nights.
And a good multi-agency cooperation event with the kind of the mobile command center was at the PPD headquarters. No, where was it located?
That was at City Hall.
At City Hall, okay. Where everybody's working together to keep their eyes on everything at the same time, which is, that's all good stuff. But the other one I wanted to check in with you about is, you know, we're, gosh, now pushing, I think, 7 or 8 months of, you know, open carry being legal. Has this caused an issue in Pensacola? Have you guys had any confrontations, any problems, I don't think I have seen a single person carrying a gun around town since this happened. Now, John tells me that basically every single person in Santa Rosa County is open carrying right now. so it's a matter of which side of the water you live on, I guess. But has this been an issue at all?
No, we haven't had any issues with that at all.
I will take the win. All right. Our did you know, or are you aware, or cop myth, however you want to call it, when it comes to radio conversations, we all know the kind of classic, sort of hilarious example from the movie Airplane.
Flight 209er, clear for vector 324.
We have clearance, Clarence.
Roger, roger. What's our vector, Victor?
How accurate is any of that for radio chatter for you guys?
It's pretty close, and we quote that line to each other all the time. I think cops across the country do that. That was a great scene. But what they're talking about is what I'm about to talk about is the word Roger. And a lot of people, the misconception is that it's an acronym for received order given expect results. That's simply not true. That's not what happened. It actually is for the word R back when you had Morse code. That it was for R. And this back in the 1940s, the U.S. Joint Army Navy phonetic alphabet to represent the letter R, which stood for received in voice radio communications. And it was used by pilots and soldiers to confirm that a message was received and understood, but not necessarily that they were going to go through with that order, which would have been Wilco. So in 1956, the phonetic alphabet changed from Roger for the letter R to Romeo, which is what we currently use today. Police and military, they use that. So that's how the Roger came to be. We still use it. Most officers, civilian officers, use the code 10-4 instead of Roger, but you still have some, especially former military, that use the word Roger when they are saying yes or 10-4.
Okay, so when somebody says Roger Wilco, they're saying, I hear it and I will obey it or I will execute it. Instead of if they just say Roger, it's kind of I won't say passive aggressive, but, you know, like, maybe I will, maybe I won't. I didn't say so, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much right. Roger Wilco is totally different, but we don't use that in the police department. We use Roger every once in a while, but the Wilco is you probably ought to do it anyway, whether you Wilco or not. You probably ought to go through with what they told you to do.
Of course. So really, the dream scenario would be if you ever hired an officer whose name was Roger Tackleberry.
Yeah. Or if his last name was Over, which I worked for a captain over in Kentucky, so yeah.
One more time, I love the reactions I get from Mike Wood. Is my very favorite thing about this job.
Roger that.
Mike Wood, he is the public information officer and my foil sometimes for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, I appreciate you, sir. I'll talk to you next week.